This episode is brought to you by IVP. Use promo code IVPHEAR40, that's IVPHEAR40, at ivpress.com for 40% off and free shipping on any resources mentioned in this episode.
I'm Tara Beth Leach, and this episode is sponsored by Northern Seminary, where I earned a Master's of Divinity so proudly. Did you know that Northern Seminary has been enrolling women since the beginning? Our first student in 1913 was Amy Lee Stockton, a total legend. She went on to become one of the nation's leading evangelists, reaching thousands for Christ. And since then, we have equipped thousands of women to serve as pastors, practitioners, church planters, and ministry leaders across the globe. We believe that the church cannot live into her fullness without women developing their gifts and living out their call to leadership. Northern has flexible programs, world-class faculty, and a diverse community, and we empower the church to grow the gospel and live with unwavering allegiance to Jesus' kingdom. Your calling matters. Take the next step and visit northernseminary.edu to learn more.
This is IVP.
Welcome to Hear Women from InterVarsity Press, where we listen to the voices of women for the good of the church. I'm your host, Tara Beth Leach. If you are a woman who has ever been called into leadership, you probably have at least a few battle scars to show for it, because leading is hard. And being a female in the church can be especially challenging.
Tammy Donahue
knows a thing or two about the hardships of leadership. She spent more than four decades as a pastor, church planter, denominational leader within the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel. And she currently serves as an executive dean at Portland Seminary of George Fox University. Through those many decades of following God's call, her story reveals how difficult life can be for women at the highest levels of leadership. Yet, in the midst of the pains that Tammy has experienced, she learned how to center herself on what is most important. Here's my conversation with Tammy Donahue. Welcome, 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 Tammy. I am so looking forward to this interview. Our listeners probably don't know, but you and I have probably known each other just about a decade from afar. And then personally, we've been able to break bread together and share stories together. And every time my path crosses with yours, I am so inspired. I was, in fact, just before we hit record, I thank Tammy for paving the way for women that are currently behind her. I'm one of them, not far, but, you know, just a few years. And Tammy has the scars to bear, to show, but she has led with grace and resilience and the fruits of the Spirit. And I have admired Tammy for many years. And I'm excited just to have this excuse to catch up and hear more of your heart. And I know that so many women and men are going to be blessed through this conversation. So welcome to Hear Women, Tammy.
Thank you, Tara Beth. It is really a privilege to be on here with you.
Thank you. Tammy, God has had you on a leadership journey for a long time, and you've served in many different roles within denominations, within churches, within universities. You've studied about leadership. You teach on leadership. You coach on leadership. Tell me when you began to realize that God might be calling you specifically as a leader.
You know, I really had this sense of calling to ministry when I was 16, but I never saw myself as a leader. I was a support. So I pastored with my husband from the age of 19 until I was in my 30s before I thought, oh, I have a different role to play.
Wow. And so all of those years, you never thought, I'm a leader.
No, he was the visionary and I made it happen. So wow. I built systems, developed systems. I would see vision with him, but I just imagine myself in that place. And through a lot of personal crisis, frankly, around identity, I emerged understanding, oh no, God made me for something different. And I went through a process of really understanding, it's called focused living. And I came through that and I wrote across the top of my notebook, capable versus called.
Wow. Wow.
And I realized I'd spent a lot of time doing things I have natural capabilities for.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something I was called to I had yet to step into.
That's amazing. And I think that's so common specifically for women who serve in the church.
Definitely.
You know, we see ourselves, we're just serving. We're just being hospitable. We're just putting feet to the vision. We're just, and you know, it's so we're just. And at the same time, we're so honored and so grateful to have the opportunities that we have. And I do find that oftentimes it is the case that women later in life realize, wait, what I've been doing all along is actually leadership. So when you first started to realize that, tell me about how that felt. Like, just to even say, like, I'm a leader, I lead. How did that feel? Like, what did that do to you? And then also, how did others start to respond?
Well, that was the difficult thing. It felt strange to me because I had no models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm 64 years old. I grew up in the church growth leadership era, but it was all male examples. So I didn't ever have anyone say to me, you're a leader, that women are leaders. That was not in our vocabulary. So the first time it was said to me, it was actually said to me by a mentor who was male. And he began to call it out in me. My husband began to really see, oh no, there's something more we haven't seen. He began to call it out. And so as they began to call it out, and I would say I tested the waters and began to step into it, I recognized, oh no, I have led by function all of my life. It was just never called that.
That's incredible. And again, as I mentioned, often the case for so many women who serve in church roles and capacities. Over the years, what has that looked like for you to come into your own and really explore that calling?
You know, it was interesting. Right after this discovery happened through this workshop process, I actually received a call from the denomination I was a part of, and they asked me to be a district overseer.
Right.
It was a huge step on their part because I had no experience.
Sure. And they're probably, I mean, I'm fairly familiar with the denomination. There probably weren't very many women that were asked to step into roles like that.
I was the first.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is amazing because your denomination began with the idea, or that denomination at the time had always affirmed women in ministry since its very inception.
Yeah. You know, understanding history is really important. You can cultural history of America in particular since the 1900s and see how all of this came about. I love to study history. I'm a futurist, and so I think wisdom for a futurist is to always study the past.
Oh, that's so good.
And so when I did that, you could clearly see what happened.
Yes.
And why. And so coming into it, I knew that my assignment was to pave the way, to address the theology, the concerns, and the cultural concerns, the systemic things that we didn't even see. A lot of it was unintentional. It had been systemically formed.
Let's just go there for a second, because, and I know that you still remain hopeful, and you have a lot of great stories, and we'll definitely end there with the hope and the encouragement. But let's, if we can we just dig in and get a little bit honest? Because I would imagine, actually, and I know, I watched your story play out, and you were so brave and resilient through it all. But what speed bumps and opposition did you experience throughout your journey?
You know, it was funny, when I was asked to be a district supervisor, the first thing that happened was I got a form letter in the mail because they were introducing all of the new supervisors at the annual convention. And the form letter said, please wear a suit and tie on the platform.
Oh,
so that was the first.
No.
Yes. And then when we actually got there, they had an area reserved down in front for all of the spouses of the new supervisors. And of course, my husband being who he is, he didn't sit on the edge. He went right to the middle of the crowd. And while he was sitting there, a security guy came up and said, sir, you can't sit there. This is for the supervisor wives.
Oh, wow.
See that blonde on the stage? That is my spouse, and she is a supervisor. And so they all laughed, and, you know, he stayed in place. The first time I faced it, I would say to counter theologically, because there is a theological piece of all of this we have to be honest about. When I experienced that, I was actually preaching in our church plant. When at the time we had about 100 people, you know, renting buildings, set up, tear down, all that you do with church planting. And I got up to preach that morning, and this gentleman, who I say was my NFL linebacker friend, he was every bit of 6'5", 280, you know, big man, you can't miss, was sitting third row, middle aisle. And when I got up to preach, instead of walking out, he turned in his chair and turned his back to me and looked at the floor in protest.
Oh.
Well, in a room of that size, everybody saw it.
Oh, sure.
And immediately, I just had that sense, Tara Beth, of who called me.
Mm.
And I made a decision then that I would not move. I would not change. I would not react to anything of resistance because I was settled in who called me. And I preached like I always preach, and I prayed and closed the service. And he got up and walked out, and I never saw him again. But that was something that was a marked moment of conviction in my heart that every woman leader has to have.
Yeah, and that marked conviction that must flow out of a confidence in who we are, whose we are, and what God has called us to, that we don't have anything to prove. And again, I think sometimes the temptation is for women to feel like they need to go boxing in that moment, that they need to fight. And I think another temptation is to allow the seeds of bitterness to really take an ugly hold on our hearts. And it's not to say we won't be angry. We're going to have moments that we're going to be angry. It's not going to say that there might be moments where we need to really speak into these times. That is important. But I do think that what you're describing here, Tammy, is a very real posture that you have modeled for women. You don't appear, I mean, I know you have moments where you're angry, but you aren't angry.
Mm-mm.
You don't lead with bitterness as your banner.
No, this has been a really important thing for me, Tara Beth, is that I've been what I call a Sunday school girl since I was a little child. I have a deep love for Jesus. Always have. I lead from that. And so I've always had a posture that God does our fighting. We don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle on our knees. And I have asked the Lord every single day, and I would say most of my 64 years, God, give me grace and wisdom far beyond my years and experience. It's still a daily prayer. I've always wanted to lead with grace and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I see in you, Tammy. And thank you for that, because I know that it's very easy to not do that, right? Because the pain is very real. So you ended up, you know, experiencing some of this as a district supervisor, and then you experienced this when you were preaching, which for our women pastors who are listening, I think many can relate to. Was it all just easy from there? Tammy knew who she was confident in who she was, and therefore was, you know, superwoman?
No, you know, I had 20 years
okay
in executive denominational leadership, 12 of those as the VP.
Okay.
And you know, dealt with a lot of things. And some of it you don't even recognize.
Right.
There's resistance you don't even realize you're doing. I was very determined not to get sidetracked with any of it. And I will tell you that I didn't realize until I left the role just 3 years ago that I had a lot more bruises and even wounds and scars than I realized.
Sure.
Almost like just keep going, keep battling. That's
keep your head down. Uh-huh.
Keep your head down, do the job, keep going.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was done that I walked away going, oh, I'm not in great shape. And I've had to take a lot of time over the last 6 years of healing and processing. I have walked very closely with a spiritual director for 6 years, who've been really a gift to me.
Okay, so talk about that road to healing for you, because, you know, one of our listeners right now, for example, might be in that place where she is realizing, I'm not well. Or maybe the alarm bells have been going off and they've been ignoring them, which also is a temptation. We ignore that because we think we gotta be strong, we gotta be resilient, we're not gonna be angry, we're not gonna be bitter, just keep our head down, keep going, keep paving the way. and were ignoring all the alarm bells. How did you tend to those? What was that road to healing like for you?
Well, if I could first, what I'd like to say to all of us is that we all carry an added burden as a woman in leadership. And I'm communicating this a lot nowadays to say to people, every woman out there leading feels an added pressure of, I can't fail. Because if I do, then it's proof of everybody who is against women in leadership that we should not do it for all the reasons we could list. And I didn't realize how much weight of that I had carried all those years, that a lot of my woundedness was not at the hands of others, but it was what I carried myself, this sense of you cannot fail. And so the added pressure of that really affected me. And what I've learned to do in the last 6 years is find grief to be my friend. One of the first things, the day that I met my spiritual director, it was supposed to be a consultation, not a session. And we were about 10 minutes in and he said, oh, no, we need to talk right now. And he told me, he said, I want you to go find a flat rock and a real big round one. And I want you to hold them in your hand. And I want you to assign one as grief and one as gratitude. I carry a set with me everywhere I go, and there is a set on my desk. Tara Beth, I pray through this all the time. I hold them in my hand as just this physical reality that grief and gratitude go hand in hand. In fact, you don't separate them. Of course, I knew immediately the big round one was my grief and the flat one was my gratitude. But I remember the day I was in the little prayer chapel where I love to go, where we live, and I was sitting in there and tears were pouring and I was holding those rocks, and in my heart I could say, I switched rocks.
Wow.
That the gratitude was the big one.
Yes.
And the grief was thin. But I've also recognized that that is a daily prayer.
Welcome to All Ears, the segment of the show where you'll hear from IVP staff who've been tuning in to today's conversation. Together, we come alongside you in each episode to reflect on these meaningful conversations and the fantastic books they remind us of. I'm Christine, and I'm here, as always, with my coworkers, Rainer and Amanda. So I don't know about you both, but hearing Tammy's leadership journey so far, it's bringing to mind all of the mentors I've learned from in my life, especially as I've taken steps to discern my calling and vocation.
Same with me. I would say confidently, I am who I am because of the people who've invested in me. And yeah, they've helped me navigate transitions, make wise decisions, and just recognize the fingerprints of God in my story. And I'd say most relevantly, it's almost always been mentors in my life who believe in me more than I believe in myself and before I believe in myself. And they're the ones calling out greatness and gifting far before I'm aware of them.
I just can't help but think of my own mentor. She's an industry mentor I've been meeting with once a month for over 2 years now. And she's really been such an encouragement, not only in like my career, just giving wisdom and advice for different situations, but also just encouragement in my walk with Christ. And that's been like a huge blessing in my own life and very grateful to her. Also, someone else who also benefits from mentors is Penny from IVP's award-winning kids book, Penny Preaches. Penny's a girl who's captivated by the sermons at church each week, and that inspires her to try preaching herself. But her first sermon from the front porch to her friends doesn't quite turn out as she expected. And Penny wonders if she was wrong to want to teach others about God. Now, I don't want to give too much away, but I'll say that Penny needs a mentor figure to step in and show her how to use the gifts God has given her.
And yes, while this is a kid's book, I think in a spirit of humility, the adults getting to read it will find it transformational as well.
Yep. I may have definitely cried when I first read it. So be sure to check the show notes for a special discount on Penny Preaches at ivypress.com for you or your little ones. Now let's get back to Tammy and Tara Beth's conversation.
You're listening to Hear Women from InterVarsity Press. I'm your host, Tara Beth Leach, and today's guest is Tammy Donahue. What you just communicated to us too, which is so pastoral, is that
we can have grief and gratitude at the same time. And so when you think about that, I have this image of you, Tammy, just holding these rocks, the grief, the gratitude. And when you think about women in leadership, just across the board within the Christian church, just what are some of those griefs? And then what are some of those gratitudes that you have?
I have grief for times when I didn't stand up and I should have, that I held back. You know, grace can also keep you back. There's a time when you know when to lean in and when to step back. And there were times when I was too weary to step forward, and I should have. There were times when I let things go that I probably should have leaned in more and spoken about. You know, there are griefs that dreams that I had didn't happen. You know, things that I had hoped for didn't happen, out of my control. And I grieve that. I grieve the loss of what might have been. I grieve the loss of the dreams that I had. And so I grieve what I see for my sisters, young and old alike, and the pains that I hear. I grieve the things I see in the church. I love Jesus Church so much. And I grieve what I see. Mm-hmm. I grieve the wear and tear it took on my body. And my mind, that I didn't take care of myself as well as I needed to. My gratitude has to do with, I was David in the field. Nobody knew. And I had no accolades. I had nothing that would give me the platform I was given. So I have deep gratitude specifically to three men in my life who saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself, who gave me an opportunity to grow into what they saw. And I have deep gratitude for those men, and they know who they are, who supported me, stood by me, who saw me as a sister and cared for me and brought the best out of me, pushed me when I needed it. I am very grateful for all of the women who I've journeyed with. Mm-hmm. That has believed in me and I've believed in them, and we've walked this out together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really grateful to know what I know about God at this point. Mm. And my passion and my highest value is becoming like Christ.
Amen.
So that growth of what it means to become like Christ that we read about. I'm grateful that at this season of my life, my family loves Jesus and we love each other. And, you know, there was a picture at one point, I remember it was another one of those decision moments when I felt like God showed me myself standing before him and my family gathered right around me. And then around them were all of the church people that I was leading. And then another picture was all the church gathered right around me and my family way in the back. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, which do you want? And I didn't even have to think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because one of the things I've learned, Tara Beth, with all the assignments of ministry, they come and go.
Yeah.
And there are a few things that you hold on to that you will keep. And so keeping that perspective, I'm grateful. Mm. That perspective has carried me.
Thank you for that wisdom, because I think oftentimes, especially when women are in their 20s and 30s, and that was me, I'm now almost mid-40s, but when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was running so hard and so fast, and ministry was a dream, and my family was in the background, and God has been right-siding that through the years, and my husband has stories to tell, and we could testify before therapy, after therapy. But just thank you for that wisdom and that reminder. I pray that it stops some women in their tracks to reflect and think. And also thank you for highlighting the men in your life that have emboldened you, because that is so important for our male listeners. Yeah. You never know the impact that you will have when you open doors, when you amplify the voices of women. And I know that's part of your testimony, Tammy.
I've had a firm belief and practice that what Paul said to Timothy really matters. And what he said was, here's how you treat older men, older women, younger women. And a lot of the concerns about men and women in the church and leading together would be settled if we would live out that passage. If we would treat each other as fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, it really helps with that point of men supporting women, mentoring women, and vice versa.
That's the truth.
And it's such a healthy model. To me, it is the model of what God's intention was from the very beginning, that men and women would be fruitful together and have dominion. That wasn't just talking about marriage, but it was the image of God in its fullness, working together to fulfill what God's intention was.
Amen. So you talked about history and how we have arrived where we have, and how that's still, we're still experiencing the implications of that. And I wonder if you could just take us on just a little broad stroke idea of how we've gotten here, and as a result, what are the common roadblocks and pushback moments that women still experience because of what's happened throughout history?
You know, if you start at the beginning and then you see how quickly things went awry, the male-female dynamic is the oldest one in human history. So it's not going away anytime soon. And then you see the patriarchal world that we have come from and the ebb and flow of how that happens. So even in the American church, you talk about how many women were leading during the war, World War II. And then at the end of that, the men come back home. And there's a shift that happens. If you really look at from World War II forward, you can chart all of this. And then what happens with feminism and sex, drugs, and rock and roll from 60s and 70s. I mean, this comes all the way through, Tara Beth. And then you look in the 80s and what happened in the church. Leadership and church growth took on this new realm that came out of the Jesus movement. And when they took on the organizational leadership persona, it's always defined as male. And so there's something that takes place through this historical time that we somehow have missed in really thinking about this concept. And then let's just put, theology is a huge piece of this. It's something I think we still underestimate, doing really good, deep scholarship. And I am grateful for the people that you're working with, Nijay Gupta and others of these scholars who are doing amazing work to really say, no, this truly is biblical foundations that we must look at. Because that's the number one thing. I hear it from women. I have a friend of mine, a young pastor who's about your age, who was just in a conference, and she said, the first thing that happened to me is two men walked up, asked me what I do, and then said, well, how can you do that in light of what Paul said to the church? It's everywhere. I mean, there's still such a huge theological piece, and it's held on to because of the cultural piece. So theology and culture are still our biggest barriers. And then to those that are truly working as mutuality, male, female, egalitarian, whatever label you want to put on it, there still are systematic issues that we don't even recognize, that are often barriers to women in leadership. So nothing is new under the sun, and there's an ebb and flow that we'll see that looks like progress. It's almost like two steps forward and three steps back. And if there's anything that probably wears on me at this season of life, it's that.
Absolutely. Thanks for being so honest and for your vulnerability, Tammy. I wonder if you might move to some encouragement for a moment. What encouragement, words of wisdom would you offer to women who are faithfully carrying just that leader weight type of burdens and responsibilities? And maybe they don't even have the title leader yet.
Yeah. Here's one of the big things I see. You know, there's so much happening in the evangelical church in particular, but the church at large right now. And I honestly believe there's so much room for women church planters, because there are new ways of thinking about the gathered church of God that women are really good at, that people are drawn to. So I think there's a huge opportunity for women church planters. And I would hope that they would take off the mindset of what they think that is and really listen to the Lord of what could be. I also think that there are a lot of people who are staying quiet in this noisy world, but they're really wide open to women in leadership. I meet them all the time. The biggest thing I would say to every woman is to deeply root yourself in Jesus every single day. That's not just words. You know me. I'm not just saying that. I'm saying if you're going to lead well, that is not an afterthought or a part of your life. That is the center of who you are. And to guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. You know, this idea, things are hard. Well, things have always been hard. There's just an ebb and flow to it.
Yeah, indeed.
There's more opportunity right now than there's ever been, even though we're seeing some of the ebb and flow happening right now. And as we fulfill the calling that God's placed on our life, it truly is God that proves who we are. And that doesn't change. To find the places you can lead and serve and give your very best and still let God bring the fruitfulness, the increase. You know, at the end of it, it is not how big the tree was or how much fruit was on it.
Yeah.
When I have any woman say to me, I had it this week, I had a woman text me and she said, I had the best compliment today. She said, I was preaching in a church and somebody walked up and said, I can tell you were mentored by Tammy Donahue. Well, Tara Beth, that was worth everything for me.
Yeah.
That I had the ability to influence one person.
Yeah.
To be more like Jesus and to fulfill what God's called her to do. We can't lose sight of all of
yeah.
that.
Yeah. What a word. What a word. So what's one thing that you want the church, if you could just think of one thing that you want the church to change about how it sees or addresses vocational roadblocks that women experience as they explore calling to leadership?
I would ask them to come to the table with some really good scholarship and be honest about the theology. When I say be honest, it's because we pick and choose how we want to interpret things and have some honest talk about that. And then be honest about what we mean by it, because I'll hear churches say, we do believe in women in ministry. Well, we do as long as they're not the senior leader. So honesty and openness, consideration.
Yeah, I agree with the honesty for sure on both levels. I think that there's, you know, politics and power dynamics that keep people from being yes. honest and yes. fear of losing a seat at the table, all the things. So what a prophetic call for us, Tammy. Thank you. Finally, you know, I want to ask, is there a woman whose voice needs to be heard or someone that we need to know, someone that maybe you're listening to or drawn to these days?
Yeah, I'm really biased right now. When I saw you were going to ask this question, Tara Beth, I am very biased because it's my own priest and pastor.
Okay.
Her name is Ashley Matthews, okay. and she's going to not be happy probably that I promoted her here. But I'll tell you what it is. She is a younger pastor, and of course, to me, that's you as well, compared to my age. But she has such wisdom in how she is presenting. And I keep telling her, you're reframing the gospel in people's minds because you're telling the story of God, his church, his kingdom in a way that people have not heard where we live. And it is drawing people faster than we can keep up with. What's happening is the grace of God without a doubt, but it's also her willingness to step into this place of leadership. In Northwest Arkansas, of all places.
Yes. What's the name of your church, Tammy?
Christ the King.
Christ the King Church. Mm-hmm. And where is it located?
It is located in Northwest Arkansas.
Okay. That way people can, if they want to find her, look her up. Great.
Yes. CTKNWA.org.
Perfect.
Is the church. Yes.
Perfect. Tammy, you have been a blessing. Thank you so much for your courage and vulnerability in coming on. I'm sure it digs
some things up, but also I know that you are speaking from a place of healing and reflection, and you've done a lot of work. Your story is compelling, and thank you for offering parts of yourself with us today.
Thank you. It's been a privilege.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Hear Women. We pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and inspired as a result of this conversation. Thank you for joining us as we listen to women for the good of the church.
Hear Women is a production of InterVarsity Press. For more information on any IVP titles mentioned in this episode, visit ivpress.com and use the promo code in the show notes for a special discount. Sound engineering by Honest Podcasts. Our producers are Christine Policio Mello, Helen Lee, and Travis Albritton. Our research assistants are Abby Lee and Jasmine Rose, and we're your hosts, Darina Lazo Gilmore-Young, Tara Beth Leach, and Nijay Gupta.
Be sure to subscribe to Hear Women on your favorite podcast platform or the IVP YouTube channel, and please leave a rating and review to support the show.